My dear brothers and sisters, I want to say to you today that I have already had the privilege of beginning to work with our new pastor this week. Also, Angie has been communicating with Debbie, and I don't know who else they may have already been blessing this week, but I just want to tell you what an absolute blessing both of them are to me already. I am so glad you're here. So, church, in the name of Jesus, I want to say today that I delight to introduce to you our new pastor and his wife, Pastor Jeff and Angie. Pastor?
Wow. What a day already. It's so good to be with you. Angie and I have been so looking forward to today. We're looking forward to making it official here in a couple weeks, but we just didn't want to wait, and really want to thank Pastor Bob and Ryan and their leadership and so graciously making space. So we're sharing today, and that's great, I think. I think that's kind of the way it ought to be in ministry. And so I think it's a great opportunity to kind of personally do the fist bump or the high five, the tag up. So it's a great day, and we're so happy to be here. Beautiful day, both in weather and in the body of Christ. Well, my name is Jeff Spangler, and I think we've met many of you already and look forward to meeting more of you. And if you can give us some grace and learning names. I'll confess right now that I'm really bad. And so I'll try to repeat and work on repetition, and hopefully we'll know you guys all very well very shortly. It's an honor to be with you this morning. One confession: in our zeal to pack our home and my library, I was looking around today for I call it my preaching Bible, and it must be in a box somewhere. So I'm a little off my game in a way, but thank the Lord for technology. I got my smartphone here and a Bible app, and so I'd like to read our text this morning from Matthew chapter 28. Verses 1 through 10, and I hope you don't mind. We're still in the season of Easter and resurrection, and I found an Easter text that I'd like to share with you from today. So hear the word of the Lord from Matthew 28, beginning with verse 1. And why don't we stand in reverence for God's word this morning. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Praise God. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. And they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Thanks be to God for his word to us today. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but I've been experiencing lately a lot of mixed emotions. Anyone feel at times in your life mixed emotions? Times when you can maybe describe experiences as bittersweet. There's some sweetness, but there's also some bitterness. Maybe if you've married off a child, you know, we're losing one but gaining another, right? Well, I'm losing a son, but I'm gaining a daughter. You've probably said that before, some of us. Maybe at a high school graduation when we know a child has accomplished something and that's something to celebrate, but yet on the other side of that, we know that they're probably on the way out of the house, maybe going to go to college or start their own life on their own. Or maybe even at a funeral, we celebrate a life and rest in the assurance of salvation and eternal life with the Lord, yet at the same time we grieve our own loss of them and not having them with us anymore. Bittersweet, mixed emotions. In our text this morning, we look in Matthew and we find Mary Magdalene and the other Mary on their way to the tomb. It's early in the morning at dawn. It's the first opportunity that they have to go to the tomb. As you recall, Jesus was crucified, put in the tomb quickly before Sabbath. The whole Sabbath day was a day of waiting. And now, first day of the week, they have an opportunity then to go and see Jesus there at the tomb. And I imagine, like anyone, as they are making their way to the tomb, their hearts had to have been very, very heavy with grief and loss. Think of all the dreams and hopes that they had seemingly shattered. And they walked to the tomb with a very heavy heart. And out of nowhere, they experienced what I think can only be described as a pretty traumatic event. I don't know about you. I've never really experienced an earthquake before. Maybe you have. That sounds like a pretty consequential thing to have happen, to have the ground shaking underneath you. I've seen some pretty scary videos of earthquakes and what can happen. So the earth shakes. I don't know how many of you have seen an angel, but that can be a terrifying thing to see an angel. Matter of fact, it was a terrifying thing because all the guards there were so terrified, their knees were knocking, and they became as dead men, we're told. Brave, courageous Roman soldiers now frozen in fear before this angel. And then this image, this angel there, giving them instructions, sitting casually on the tomb, on the rock that had been moved away. Come on in. Take a look. Just the shock and awe of that. I think anyone, any human being in that situation would have been terrified, would have been fearful. What is all this? And in the midst of all this, words that are very familiar to us that we can take comfort in, the angel says to them, do not be afraid. Well, some things are easier said than done, right? Have you ever tried to talk yourself out of being afraid? The adrenaline's pumping, all the things are going on, you say, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. But the body has other things to say about that, right? I don't think it worked very well, but it was comforting to hear the word, don't be afraid. I think maybe those words were intended to give them a message of, I'm not going to harm you. It's okay. There's nothing to be afraid of from me. I come with a good message for you. And so the angel gives the message. And this is what the angel says. I know you're looking for Jesus. I know why you're here. Jesus who was crucified, he's not here. He's risen just as he said. And then some instructions. Come and see the place where he lay. He's risen from the dead. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him. That's the message they're to give. So the word from the angel is both information and a command, right? He invites them in. He is risen. Examine the evidence. The tomb is empty. And then go quickly and tell the disciples. The command isn't just go, but go quickly. Go quickly. I don't know about you in that situation. If I had an angel tell me to go quickly, I'd probably be going quickly. I'd probably be running, moving out to do what I was told to do. And so I imagine them running, and along the way, as they're going back to fulfill the command that the angel has given them, here in front of them now is Jesus. But I want to, before I talk about that encounter, I want to talk about what the scripture tells us about their emotions at the time. Because we're told that they're still afraid, yet they're filled with joy at the news. Afraid, yet filled with joy. Mixed emotions. Fear and joy commingled in their heart and in their spirit as they're running to fulfill the word that they had been given. Well, what did they have to be afraid of? Consider what these women had to be afraid of. Not only the experience that they just had there at the tomb with the angel, but there's some other things that maybe could have been on their mind as they're beginning to run to fulfill the command. There's some things perhaps they might have also been fearful of besides just the emotion of what they'd experienced. But how about this? Where is the body of Jesus? And what are these Roman soldiers going to say when they give their report? Are they going to pin it on us? And number two, we're going to go tell the disciples this news. Are they going to believe us? After all, they're women in that time. Testimony of women wasn't always taken very seriously. And I think it's important to note that in the resurrection, women become the first evangelists and the first ones to proclaim the news of the resurrection. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Women are the first to be evangelists and sharers of the good news. So will we be believed? Will we be received as a credible witness? And then the third one maybe going through their mind is, again, what are the Jewish authorities going to do? What are the Roman authorities going to do? Are they going to be coming after us? Are we going to get blamed? Are we going to be arrested? The crucifixion was just a couple days ago. Is that what's going to happen to us now? They had some things to be worried about. Things on their mind. Some things to be fearful of. And as they're running back to tell the news, there's Jesus with, I think, kind of a casual greeting in the middle of a really wild scenario. Greetings. The Message translation has him saying, good morning. Morning, y'all. How you doing? What do you mean, how am I doing? You know? And their response to him, I think, is really telling for us. They could have done a lot of things in response to his presence and his greeting to them. But what they do, we're told, is they kneel at his feet and worship. They kneel at his feet and they worship. Now, I don't think Jesus is Jesus is kind of unique in this area, that he doesn't rebuke them or tell them not to worship. You could say Jesus is the right object of their worship. He's the right object of our worship. There are other places in Scripture where when someone bows down and worships somebody that's not appropriate to worship, they're rebuked and they're told, don't do that. That's the wrong, I'm not the one you should be worshiping. Like you can go to Revelation chapter 19 and 10. John is so enthralled with all the visions, he bows down to worship the angel, if you recall. And he gives this revelation, this word. He says, at this I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. Worship God. And now here's the Marys bowing down and worshiping Jesus, and Jesus receives their worship. He doesn't rebuke them or correct them. And I don't think Jesus ever corrected anyone who bowed before him in worship, because he is the true object of worship. He is the Son of God. And again, these words are offered, not from the angel now, but this time from Jesus himself. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. When they ran off from the angel who told them not to be afraid, they had mixed emotions. It was joy mingled with fear. Now, they're worshiping at the feet of Jesus. And in this context of worship, in his presence, he tells them, do not be afraid. And I believe he takes their tainted joy, their mingled joy, and turns it into pure joy. At the feet of Jesus, as we worship him, all fear must melt away. All fear must melt away. 1 John 4:18 tells us there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Fear has to do with punishment. But at the feet of Jesus, we need not fear punishment, because we receive the benefits of the cross. We receive grace and mercy. We remember that we've been adopted as children of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Fear also has to do with trust. Throughout the Gospel of Matthew, there have been times when Jesus has reminded the disciples and challenged them in their faith. And the issue that they have with fear, if you go back to Matthew 8:26, they're on the lake, and the storm has come up, and they're afraid for their lives. They're afraid of nature, the wind and the waves. And Jesus stands up and rebukes them. And all is calm, and he says, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? They didn't know who's in the boat with them. Matthew 10:31, he sends out the 12, and he says, do not fear, you're worth more than many sparrows. He's encouraging them again, do not fear. What are they afraid of? They're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of now taking on this ministry and going out and possibly being rejected. He reminds them again, do not fear. Don't forget who sent you and by whose authority you're going out. Matthew 14:27, Jesus sent his disciples out to cross the Sea of Galilee. And again, the wind and the waves are buffeting them, holding them back, and they're fighting in the midst of all that. And Jesus decides to take a walk, a casual little stroll on the water. And he's walking by, and they get a sight of him, and they're afraid because they think he's a ghost. I mean, after all, who walks on the water, right? And again, he tells them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Fear of ghosts, and again, fear of the unknown. And then again in Matthew 17:7, Jesus' inner circle, Peter, James, and John, are on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus is transformed, and they see him in his glory as the Son of God. God, the Father, has spoken, and they're fallen prostrate before him on their faces. And Jesus says, get up. Don't be afraid. You're with me. Fear of God's power, God's holiness, and the realization of their own sin. If we understand who it is we worship, if we understand who is with us, we'll know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that there's no reason to allow fear into our lives. If we truly know who we worship the one who calms the storms, the one who walks on water, the one who is fully God, yet cares for us, has every hair on our head numbered, knows every detail of our lives, the one who forgives our sin and makes us holy, even as he is holy. So let me ask you this morning, what do you have to be afraid of? I think we know the answer, right? We have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. But the reality is, maybe there is something that you're afraid of. Maybe there is some fear. And maybe you come to worship today and you're joyful in his presence and in the fellowship, yet there's something on your heart that's tainting that joy. Some fear, maybe fear of the unknown, maybe fear of health or surgery or whatever may be coming. We have nothing to be afraid of. We're held in his hands. He's a sovereign, loving God. There's nothing that's out of his control. We can rest and relax in his presence. Give it all to him today. Just ask us, are you fully trusting in him? Are you fully trusting in him? There's a hymn that speaks to me about trust and relying on him. I'd just like to share the words with you, and then maybe we can sing a little bit of it. It's a song that's been on my heart lately in all this transition in our own lives. One of my favorite hymns, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus says the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him o'er and o'er, over and over again. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to trust his cleansing blood and in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me and will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your desire that we would trust you. How hard it is to let go of our own lives, those things that cause us fear. The unknown, the uncertainty. We look around us, we watch the news, and there are things that kind of scare us at times, but God, we trust in you because you are a God who is trustworthy. You've made a way for us time and time again. You have a track record that is perfect. So Lord, in the quietness of this time, maybe some of us today have joy, but it's just mingled with some fear. Maybe we have some mixed emotions today. Lord, in this moment, I pray that you'd search us. I pray that you'd help us to let go and trust you. As we sing, the altars are open. If you'd like to come and pray, you're welcome to come and pray. Give it all to him. Trust him with all your heart, soul, strength. Good to be in church today, hasn't it? Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. This is the gift of being a part of the body of Christ. I wouldn't want to be a part of anything else. So thankful for the church and for the Lord Jesus. Will you stand with us? I'm going to pronounce a blessing on you before you go. And, Pastor Jeff may have his own rhythm of blessing you as you leave. And you lean into that, okay? This has been our rhythm for the past few months, as you know, just inviting you to extend your hands, take a look at your palms, nothing wild or spooky or strange about that, right? You're just taking a physical posture of receiving this blessing from the Bible as you head into your week this week. You're going to head into your week as a blessed person, right? So go ahead and open up your palms if you're comfortable with that and hear this from the scriptures. This is from the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you're ever looking for this, just read through the little book of 1 Thessalonians. You'll find it. It simply says this: may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who has called you is faithful. And he will do this. Go in the peace of the Lord and the love of Jesus Christ. You are dismissed. God bless you.